Thank you, Pastor Mike. Good morning. It's good to be at Solid Ground. I have heard about Solid Ground for many years. I at one time was a bishop in the Brethren of Christ, so I became good friends with Perry Engel, who is your bishop. And then I knew your previous pastor, Bob Beatty, and actually share something in common with him, a very, very important thing. We both grew up in Ohio, so we're big Buckeye fans. And so that's kind of a common. And then, as Pastor Mike said, we met about a year or so ago, and it's just been fun to get to know Pastor Mike as well. So what we want to do this morning is just explore together God's call for us to be his agents in the world. And we'll do that both by looking some at what MCC is doing and exploring a bit of how we're called to do that as well. You know, God's work is not just for things that happen through mission agencies over there. What we hear from those stories can inspire us for today, but it's not just for over there. But before we do that, I want to take a little poll here. I need everyone to vote one way or the other, okay? I want to know, if you got a flu shot this year, would you raise your hand? Okay, pretty good. So I didn't for a while. And then I live in Fresno, and over Christmas there was this really nasty flu bug going around. And I saw things on Facebook like I was in bed for 3 days. And then one of my coworkers, like it went through their house, like 3 weeks they were all down. And he had served in Guatemala a number of years ago. And he said to me, he said, man, he said, I haven't felt that bad since I had dengue fever in Guatemala in 2011. And I was like, wow, when you're comparing what you're experiencing to a tropical disease, like, that's pretty serious. And he said, you know, someone in our house had the flu virus, and they got sick, but it wasn't as bad. And those of us who didn't, we got hit pretty bad. I went to CVS that afternoon and got my flu shot. Whether it helps or not, I don't know, but it sort of motivated me to do that. But, you know, when there's a virus that goes around, we want to avoid it, right? And sometimes we quarantine. But when you have an actual vaccine, and I mean, there may be, I don't know if there's any medical people in the room, I could be completely off base as far as the effectiveness of the flu virus. But, you know, vaccines protect us from the effects of a disease, right? Keep us from experiencing. So, sort of thinking of that as an analogy, think about all of the bad things in the world, not non-physical, that negatively affect the life of people. We see them in the news headlines all the time. Things like division, hatred, violence, disasters, and the list could just go on and on. These are the things that affect the lives of people. And what if as followers of Jesus, we're called to be the vaccine, if you will, that works against these viruses that destroy the hearts and souls of people? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because we're going to look there about God's call on us to be his agents of healing. MCC has been doing this for about 100 years, and I'll share a bit more about that in a minute. But our theme verse for this year comes from 2 Corinthians 5:18, which says that all of this, and we'll get into this in a minute, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. This is our calling. And Paul walks through this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to, just to give some context to this verse 18. In verse 1, Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Now, when you hear the phrase heaven, I'm guessing most of us think of that place we go after we die. And he's kind of implying that there when he talks about our body longs for a new place. And that is true, but that's not the whole picture. Or put differently, heaven is not just what happens the next life. If you read the New Testament, heaven is what God wants us to start to experience right now. Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven is here. So we have to get away from this, it's just the next life. Question is, how do we as God's people start to bring this world into our broken world today? And Paul kind of hints at this as he keeps going through the passage. Verse 5, he says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I don't think Paul means we've been fashioned for the whole purpose of having our bodies renewed in heaven. No, the Spirit is given as a deposit to bring heaven into our world today. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. Do you remember what he said? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To help people get new bodies in heaven? Well, no, that happens. But he said, no, so that the blind can see, that the lame can be healed, the people who have been in prison can be released. It's this image that runs all through the New Testament, that God wants to bring healing, wants to begin to have heaven experience in this life today. Well, Paul continues on, and then in verse 16, he says this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I don't know how you define worldly point of view, but I think it's fair to say one description or one example of a worldly point of view is in the world, people tend to view us and them. There is the other. There is those people who are different. There are those people we don't like. Where God views all people as everyone is first of all an image bearer of him. They bear his image. They are called, we are to see the image of God in everyone. So I think part of seeing or living with a non-worldly point of view is to look at Mike and not first of all say, he likes that football in England? Yes. Or he's a Michigan man, not an Ohio State fan? Watch out. No, he's an image bearer, just like you and I. So we're called to view everyone with a heavenly point of view. Verse 17, there Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. So if the new creation has come to me, it changes how I view people. And I don't see them with the worldly point of view. I see them with this heavenly point of view. Everyone is made in the image of God. And Paul says then, all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word reconciliation. But it gets at this biblical notion in the Old Testament of what's called shalom. It's this idea of putting things back the way they ought to be. When things get sort of out of alignment or sort of messed up, reconciliation has this idea of it goes back to how it ought to be. And this is what Paul says is our calling. As agents of Christ, we work against those things that bring destruction and pain and hurt and violence. We seek to be part by God's Spirit of the work he is doing, reconciling things to himself and to each other. Mennonite Central Committee, we are a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches. So it includes Mennonite, and it includes Brethren in Christ, and it includes some other denominations. And we seek to share God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. MCC envisions communities worldwide in right relationship with God, with each other, and with creation. That's the mission, that's the vision that we're seeking to carry out. So I want to share with you a number of just stories of how we're working to do this around the world, and also encourage you to think, What can I learn from that example in my world today? So Mennonite Central Committee, as I said, this is our centennial year. In 1920, we were formed because there was a severe famine in Russia. Someone asked me before the service, so what is MCC? How long has it been around? So in the late 1800s, there were a number of Mennonites in Russia who migrated to the U.S. and Canada. Some were still there, but some had moved to North America. And by 1920, there had been a couple of years of war. There was some famine, and so people were starving. So they wrote to their brothers and sisters, their family, who had moved, 20, 30, 40 years before. They said, help, we're starving. And so communities, one up in near Fresno, one near Goshen, Indiana, different communities around North America, formed a, can you guess the name? Central Committee. That's where the name actually came from. They formed a central committee to respond to this need in Russia. And they began to collect food and other things and send it over to Russia. And in 1922, 25,000 people at 140 feeding stations in the southern Ukraine were fed every day. And it wasn't just Mennonites. It was Mennonites, it was Russians, it was Jews, it was Lutherans. It expanded beyond just the actual group that had first called out for response. And it was so desperate that you read stories of people talking about finding old bread crusts behind the couch and savoring that dried out bread crust. So that's where it started. And this central committee thought, this will just be a response, and then we'll be done, and we'll move on. But the needs in our world have continued, and so now, 100 years later, we are working in about 60 countries around the world. One of those places where we're working is Vietnam. And actually, Vietnam was a place where MCC was very involved. Some of you lived through the Vietnam War era more than I did. I was born in that era. But it was a polarizing time in the U.S., and some people thought MCC shouldn't be involved because you're helping the enemy. We said we're here to serve all people. All people have human needs. And so, coming out of Vietnam, MCC has been very active in a couple of ways. We were active in helping clean up what was called cluster bombs in Vietnam that continued to harm people who, a farmer out hoeing and he hits on a cluster bomb that's buried in the soil, and boom, it explodes, and he's maimed and or perhaps even killed. So we were one of the few organizations that stayed there and said, we will help repair this damage. But it wasn't just over there. Here in the U.S., one of the MCC staffers who had been in MCC began to see the psychological effects of the war. And even though he himself says, I'm a pacifist. I in good conscience, couldn't go fight myself. He began to have a burden for the veterans who were suffering from PTSD. And he became one of the primary volunteers who would help staff the veteran suicide hotline for many, many years as they would call in seeking help. See, that's the mission we're called to. Not Vietnam, not U.S., it's people in the image of God who are facing pain and suffering, and how do we reconcile that and bring that back together? How do we help a bit of the shalom and the wholeness of heaven be experienced right here today? MCC also seeks to bring shalom through relief work or development work at times. This is a photo from Haiti. I'm not sure how well you can see it. But for about, do you see some of the hills are tree covered? You see the hills in the background are just more barren? The tree covered hills are the result of about a 10 or 15 year reforestation project that MCC has helped sponsor. I had the privilege of being there, I guess it's almost 4 years ago now, and there's a tree nursery, and once a year they distribute these tree saplings to families who come. And they said, do you just happen to be there the week when we're distributing those? do you want to get there and help be part of the distribution? We said, absolutely, that'd be great. He said, well, you have to get up early. Well, how early? Well, we probably need to leave by 6. Okay, that's doable. We can do that. We got up at 6. We were out there at the distribution site by about 8:30. They said, sorry, you're late. These were all gone by 7 o'clock. And people had been coming by 5 in the morning to start to get their allotment of trees. They said, these trees are life to us. They provide firewood. They provide fences that we make that keep goats out of our gardens, which set the food for us to eat. When hurricanes came through, and actually about 6 months after I was there, hurricane came through this area, and the areas that had been reforested had significantly less hurricane damage from those who had been there. And it just was striking to me, a tree. I mean, you and I go to Lowe's or Home Depot's or a nursery and buy a tree, and our biggest thought is, do we like the fruit or the color of it, the flowers that it'll produce? And here they're there at 5 in the morning because they say, this tree is life. God has called us to be his agents, reconciling, bringing things back to the way things ought to be. It's been almost... That was interesting. This was not in the notes, by the way. They got it there? Okay. Syria. It's been almost 7 years since war started in Syria. Nearly two-thirds of the people in Syria have been displaced, or their homes have been destroyed. Like, just try to fathom that for a minute. Imagine driving down roads around here, and 2 out of every 3 houses have been destroyed. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, I just have a hard time even comprehending that, and what that would do to businesses and infrastructure, and it just goes on and on. So it's been MCC's largest response has been in Syria. I think we're up to 45 or 50 million that has been contributed there to that response since 2012. But the picture on the screen is of Sister Valentine and Reverend Mofidi. She's a Catholic nun. He is a Presbyterian pastor who worked together. They were in Sister Valentine ran a retirement community for senior citizens. And when the bombing started in their town, she went to the other nuns who worked with her, and she said, you can stay or go, it's up to you, but you have 5 minutes to decide because I'm staying and I need to know who's working with me so I can organize everything. And they all stayed, and they worked together, and all the residents were safe from the bombing. But as they say, without your help, the lives of some of these families would have been entirely dark, and some may not have survived. Another leader from Syria was at a meeting I was at in Pennsylvania a few years ago. And he said, do you remember how after Christ died, his disciples came and took care of his broken body? And he said, your support and your love, we view that as we are the body of Christ and we're broken right now. But you are coming and giving us love in our time of brokenness. All this ministry is from God, seeking to reconcile us, reconcile the world to himself. We on? Thanks. We're seeking to reconcile the mics right now. I think we did that. So just a few more examples before we explore what this means for us here at home today. In our world today, in the U.S. at least, immigration is often viewed as a political issue. But as I've had privilege to work with and experience with those who are in the midst of immigration, I realize it is first and foremost a human issue. There are people who have desperate needs. This is a photo from Tucson, Arizona, where MCC is working with an organization called Casa Alitas, which is a ministry of Catholic charities that we partner with. And this is the
the clothing store, if you will. As migrants come through, they are all given a chance to go and pick out an item that they can wear. Many of them have nothing, or what little that they did have perhaps didn't go with them after they had been processed by Border Patrol or by ICE. And it's set up this way purposely. We don't just give them some clothes. We let them shop, if you will, and pick out what they want. It's a small way of trying to restore a little bit of that human dignity of choice. And if you go inside the actual shelter, you'll see images like this of a migrant coming through and expressing their dream. It says, Casa Alitas, gracias, thank you. And you see there, it's an image of a Honduran flag / hand and a U.S. flag / hand reaching out to take hold of each other rather than to there be a division. This is the image, this is the dream of all people working together. And there's another one of a note that was left, gracias, casa elitis. People tell us, you were the first place that has smiled at me, has greeted me with a smile in the last 2 months. All this is a ministry from God, seeking to reconcile what is broken in our world. And our work with people who are seeking to navigate the immigration system doesn't just happen down in Arizona. It also happens actually just down the road in Upland. Gloria James, who many of you would know here, attends your congregation. She actually works for our staff in providing legal services to those who are trying to navigate the immigration legal system. And it's challenging work. You hear heart-wrenching stories through which there's nothing you can do about. But Gloria does what she can, and we just appreciate, I know, the encouragement and support that she feels from this congregation. One more story from around the world, then let's talk about here at home. Israel and Palestine. People sometimes say, will there ever be peace? They've been fighting for 2,000 years, which actually people living there would actually challenge that. But that's the perception. It's deep, embedded conflict. But in southern Israel, there's a school. It's called the Hagar School. It's a partner. It's funded by Mennonite Central Committee. And it is the only multilingual, multi-ethnic school in that part of Israel. Purposely recruits Palestinian children, Israeli children, puts them in a classroom together. Why? Because there's this dream. Because there's this belief that God has called us to be his agents of reconciliation. That God has called us to try and be people who see each other not through worldly view, but through the kingdom of heaven that sees the image of God in someone first, rather than that they're part of the other. And so the hope is that these young children begin to see a friend, begin to see a person, begin to see an ally instead of the other. And that somehow that little small effort can become a catalyst to begin transforming that part of the world and to bring peace about. So this is our ministry. This is our calling, to be part of the reconciling ministry of God. How do we do this? Many of you support the work of MCC in various ways. There's a thrift shop that I know some of you are supported with. There's a relief sale that's coming up in May, first part of May, that supports MCC. And actually, even before then, March 6th is a Friday night, and there's a kind of a pre-sale dinner at the Elplin Christian Center. We're going to talk a little bit more that night about MCC Centennial. So those are ways you can support MCC, which are wonderful. But it's not just that. How do we be reconcilers here at home? I read just a week or so ago a person I respect greatly. His name is Ron Sider. For years, he has been vocal saying, how do Christians model this ethic of Jesus? And he was lamenting the polarized world that we experience here in the U.S. And he had a suggestion. He said, what would happen if between now and the end of October, you know what happens the first part of November, right? We have a national election. If you haven't experienced it already, be warned, the ads are coming. So what if between now and the end of October, Christians and churches would get together once or twice a month, and in this gathering would be Republicans, Democrats, Independents. And he said, and if you can't get that mix in your own church, maybe you should partner with other churches and also look a little bit inside. But he says, what if you would study scriptural themes on different issues and pray together? Not tell each other how to vote, but begin to engage deeply. He said, if God's people can't begin to bridge the partisan divide that we see in our world, why would we expect the rest of the world? Cool thing about this is Ron is in his 80s, and I go, man, like, I hope when I'm in my 80s, I still have that vision and dream to think about what could be, to think about how we're called to be agents of reconciliation. But there could be other ways. I don't know all your lives, but for some of us, reconciliation starts right in our own family, with our own neighbors, with things that we encounter at work. In our fallen world, we will encounter brokenness. We will encounter things that break into and disrupt the dream God has for all of humanity to experience wholeness and peace. And we are called by God's Spirit to be agents of reconciliation. I don't know how well you can see in this photo, but the lady in the red dress who's standing in the back there with her hand on the shoulder of the other lady, her name is Natalia. This photo was taken in Zaporozhye, Ukraine. She works with an MCC partner that works with homeless, that works with people who are coming out of drug addiction, seeking to get back to wholeness. And if you look closely, you'll notice Natalia does not have all of her left arm. It only comes down to the elbow. That's because she at one point was a drug addict. And the effects of too many needles in her arm caused the lower half of her arm to be amputated. But isn't this a picture of the reconciling, restoring work of God? Harmed and hurt by the brokenness of the world, God has brought healing to her. And even though there are still scars and wounds that she carries, she is now an agent reconciling others to come out of the same dark spot she had been. To me, that is a picture of the call God has on all of us. It's not just for those who go overseas with MCC or somewhere else. It's God's call for all of us, because the Spirit is upon us to be about this work of reconciling all things back into the wholeness and the shalom of God. May His Spirit empower you and I this week to do this work that He's called us to. Will you pray with me as the worship team comes forward? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful this morning that You left the perfection of heaven to come and live on this earth, to show us God's love, to show us God's heart, to show us God's willingness to enter deeply into the pain and brokenness of our world. Thank You now that Your Spirit is upon us and calls us to be a part of this ongoing work. I thank You for solid ground, for each person here, and for the way that Your Spirit is working in them and through them. And as all of us seek to follow You, whether it's supporting relief agencies like MCC or others, or whether it's reaching out to our friends and neighbors and family. May you give us your eyes to see the brokenness you are calling us to help restore. We pray this in Christ's name.